Since the coronavirus pandemic reached the U.S., more people have needed to rely on virtual technology for a lot of activities, work, personal connections, and therapy. According to the American Psychological Association, 3/4 of clinicians are conducting all their therapy appointments remotely. 2 Wisconsin therapists joined us last month for a look at the challenges and benefits of remote therapy or teletherapy. Rachel Zentner is a licensed professional counselor at Behavioral Health Clinic in Wausau. Rachel, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
And Susan McDonald Conroy is a licensed marriage and family therapist and certified sex therapist at Clarity Therapy Center in Onalaska. Susan, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Rob and Rachel. Thanks for having me.
Well, Rachel, let's start with you. How much teletherapy had you done before the pandemic, or was this a brand new thing for you?
This was not a brand new thing for me. I would say that probably only 10% of my practice was online prior to the COVID-19 pandemic hitting. So it was really limited. Maybe 1 to 2 clients per month were online at that time.
And have you had to make the switch to complete teletherapy, or at least for the first few months there?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. We went to fully online for probably March through May. We started a limited opening of our clinic for high-level need and particular types of therapies that needed to be in person, and also just definitely at the clinician's discretion. I would say at this point probably 75% of my practice is still online.
And Susan, what's your before and after when it comes to teletherapy?
Yeah, I had probably less experience than Rachel. I did have everything, all the systems and a HIPAA-compliant platform in place, but used it only in cases of bad weather or when someone somewhere else in the state was looking for a sex therapist or something that they couldn't find in their area. So not a lot prior. And then as the pandemic unfolded, there was lots of talks with clients about this might be how it goes. Let's do some informed consent forms and documentation. And it was a pretty quick switch to all but 2 of my clients, and two of my clients I continue to see in person.
Now, Rachel, I think a lot of the expectation was, okay, you know, this is just going to be second rate. It's not going to work as well as in person. What have you found switching to a lot more teletherapy than you had done previously?
I think that's a really good point, Rob, and I think that was maybe the assumption for both the clients and for the clinicians. I was really hesitant that I might lose a lot of body language or that energy exchange between a therapist and a client through online therapy. I've been pleasantly surprised in that I get a lot of great interactions when working with people over, very much like Susan said, the HIPAA-compliant platforms have wonderful technology in terms of what I can see with people, how I can observe people. The technology has been wonderful. And I think, at least from my perspective, both the client side of things and for myself as a clinician, reports have been overwhelmingly positive.
And Susan, what have you found maybe after the initial learning curve?
I think for the clients, initial learning curve as well, some of them were reluctant, like, okay, well, we'll see how it goes. And then some of the comments that I've heard is, wow, this is a lot better than driving in. You know, when you have clients that are driving maybe an hour to see you, all of a sudden it becomes way more convenient for them.
We're talking to Susan McDonald Conroy and Rachel Zentner. They're both therapists here in Wisconsin. They're telling us about their experiences switching over to teletherapy for all or most of their patients and how that's working out. Susan, actually, both of you work in areas that I assume serve a pretty wide area, maybe rural communities that don't have a lot of options where they are will come to Onalaska or Wausau for help. Susan, let's start with you. Do you see this being something that that people are going to switch to, maybe even, knock on wood, when we're back to normal?
Definitely. I don't think everyone, but I think for some people that genie's not going back in the bottle. And they're liking it. They're liking the convenience of it. And I think they'll continue that. I think the caveat would be, first of all, will insurance continue to reimburse for that? is one of the things, and regulations. Those are the two things that happened really quickly that enabled clinicians and clients to connect online pretty quickly. And, you know, that's still unfolding where that's all going to go.
Interesting. And Rachel, I know in Wausau, you're probably a hub for a pretty wide area of people coming to seek help. Do you see some of your clients or maybe other people's clients saying, hey, yeah, I can, you know, I drive an hour and a half, 2 hours. I want to stick with doing this from home.
Yeah, I think you might be onto something there, Rob. And Susan makes some great points in terms of the challenges we face coming up as things change in terms of insurance coverages and state regulations. You know, the relationship people establish with a therapist is really important and worth the continuity of that relationship is really worth fighting for in terms of keeping that relationship sacred. So I think it's important to advocate for yourself with your insurance companies. And if you, you know, if you talk with them and say, this is really important to me to keep seeing this therapist, we're doing good work and the relationship is important. However, the platform, you know, I think we're going to continue to be able to do this kind of work.
I want to talk about some of the pros and cons here. And I've read in national reporting therapists saying, upside, we get to see people in their own homes, in their own comfort zone. Downside, they're in their own homes with the other people who live in their homes around them. It makes it hard to have a private, confidential conversation. What have you seen, first of all, Susan, when it comes to ups and downsides of doing this remotely?
Yeah, I see that primarily mothers with little ones or couples with little ones, it's harder to get away. And so a lot of sessions where a couple is cozy against their headboard with maybe a video in the other room for their kids and hoping that they won't have any interruptions. And another thing, just because of the timing as everything unfolded, was the colleges closed down around the same time. So there were some empty nesters that were maybe meeting as couples or individuals that had all the privacy in the world, and then all of a sudden they've got young adults living with them again. So the privacy, I've had a lot of sessions that I'm guessing Rachel has too, where their clients in their car, and that's the most private place they can get.
Yeah, Rachel, what kind of opportunities and maybe obstacles have you run into?
Susan, you're 100% correct. I've seen more people's vehicles maybe than I've seen in their homes, because that is a place where people can get away, particularly for my teenagers and young adults. They don't want to be in the house where mom or dad can hear what they're talking about with their therapist, and that's great that they can get away and have that private time with me. I think the pros go back to what we had talked about earlier, which was convenience as well as financially. You know, gas money, making sure vehicles are in good repair. None of that then has to be a financial burden or issue for my client. They can get their phone, get their Zoom app up on their phone, and they can do therapy. So that's and scheduling as well. So there isn't an issue around trying to find childcare or trying to find those types of things to arrange, because there's the convenience factor of doing the online therapy.
Susan, I'll ask both of you this, and of course you can't talk about individual cases of patients, but in general, this is a tough time. We've got this pandemic. People are worried about their health. They may be worried about or actually dealing with job loss or job cutbacks. Do you sense a greater need for the kind of services that are out there, given just this added level of stress that's out there?
Oh, yes. I think anxiety thrives on uncertainty, and that's all we have around us right now is uncertainty. And, you know, you talk about jobs, you know, there was a client without any identifying information that had to stop and pause therapy because not only my client, but another family member both lost their job within the same day. And so that affects the finances. It affects everything. So, yes, the anxiety thrives on uncertainty, and everyone's doing their best they can to manage that right now.
And Susan, as Rachel, actually, as we wrap up, can you talk about, you know, maybe the need for people to reach out and seek help where they might not have before in this tough time?
I think now more than ever, we need each other as humans. We are in an unprecedented time. We cannot ask a living person what it's like to go through a pandemic. They're not here. So we have to rely on each other. We have to talk about these things. We need to experience this together and be as open and vulnerable as we possibly can about what's actually going on for us. No one is alone in this thing that's happening, and there's no right or wrong answer. So I would encourage anyone that's listening, please reach out. We as professionals are absolutely here for you, and we'll try to meet your needs in whatever platform is easiest for you to access.
We'll leave it there. Rachel, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Rob. This is so important. Thanks for doing this.
And Susan, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Rob.
Rachel Zentner is a licensed professional counselor at Behavioral Health Clinic in Wausau, and Susan McDonald Conroy is a licensed marriage and family therapist and certified sex therapist at Clarity Therapy Center in Onalaska. They joined us last month to talk about teletherapy during the pandemic.